With me today is Paul Hammond, who's the Managing Director of Glasshouse Technologies in the UK. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
So reducing the carbon footprint of a data centre seems to be increasingly becoming a good idea and valid justification for migrating to a new data centre in the UK. Does storage equipment play a part in the carbon reduction effort?
Yes, it does, and it kind of manifests itself in several ways. I mean, what we're seeing is that higher density equipment, and by that I mean, you know, more bang for the buck inside the storage array or the tape library, i.e., you know, more terabytes packed into the same or lesser footprint, tends to equal less power usage. Because the technology vendors have managed to get their equipment much more efficient, you know, much more dense in terms of its capabilities. The other way that tends to be finding its way into the footprint reduction conversation is legacy data being moved to a low or no power unit. And by that I mean, for instance, tape. You know, where you take data off and put it onto tape and store it on a shelf, it doesn't actually use any power. Therefore, you could argue it's the most carbon efficient means of keeping data, whilst not always practical for accessing information, you know, that quickly. So you then start talking about the introduction of things like multiple array of idle disks, these MADE arrays that are being talked about, where data can be stored and the disk drive's actually powered down until that data is actually called by some kind of application. So there's various ways in which people are tackling that, and storage technology, storage equipment is certainly adding some value there.
And so tape may be around for longer than people might think then, if the carbon footprint argument has, you know, a long way to go here.
Well, I think so, because if you've got to keep the information, but you don't want to use any power to keep it, there's not, other than optical and tape, there's not that many ways to achieve that.
Right. And are companies in the UK seeing a benefit from so-called green storage products, or is it a case of a better management of existing gear?
That's a good question. I think the answer is yes, but there's an element of both in amongst that. So I think one, you need to manage what you've already got better to improve efficiency and probably defer some of the spending. I mean, we very rarely find people are utilizing their storage technology to an efficiency level that we would expect as a kind of benchmark to be, you know, acceptable. That's all to do with things like capacity planning, provisioning, and the fact that, you know, people tend to hedge their storage, so they over-provision some of that space, then never really gets used, and it never gets clawed back to be reused. You then also need to look at assets that are at end of life, and particularly with regard to their power consumption, and say, well, are we spending more money to maintain this technology? Should we review that technology and look at the kind of information that it's storing or the information data that it's serving up? And look at things like thin provisioning and, again, the MADE arrays and the ILM technologies to actually move some of that data away, and then look at a benefit profile of what that will do for you. So there's a combination of both there. I think the danger is running off and just thinking you can throw new technology at a problem. I would liken that to sort of buying a car that's much more efficient in terms of its fuel economy, but still being pretty bad at driving it and actually not realizing what you could have realized, which is a far greater gain over where you are today. So sometimes it's about driving what you've got more efficiently, and sometimes it's about getting something newer and driving it more efficiently.
And so some practical steps to reducing footprint of storage would be, I guess, figuring out exactly what your utilization is today.
Yeah, I think you've got to. I mean, I think you've got to not limit this just to storage, but certainly storage is a good place to start, given that most people have got plenty of it. We would recommend certainly conducting a review of the infrastructure to determine things like legacy equipment, things that can be turned off and removed. I mean, the staggering amount of equipment that we come across in some of our larger clients. When you try to find out who owns it and which business line is affected by its ownership or by its ability to do its job, you very often find that some of these things are no longer used and they're still powered up. So there's a very easy saving on the carbon footprint, is to just switch off the kit that isn't needed anymore. And many of with those types of conversations will come down to how good a customer's or an infrastructure manager's CMDB and asset registers are. Some companies are very, very efficient and good at that, and some are less good at that. And partly it's sometimes just because of the sheer size and scale of their operation.
Yeah. And how about so the lift and shift approach to moving data centers seems to be on its way out with the whole, you know, of downtime, with downtime just being impossible these days. So are new technologies improving on this old method, or do you see that there'll always be some lift and shift going on?
I think there possibly will always be some lift and shift go on, depending on how the commercials stack up in terms of what kind of business you're in, what industry sector. If you're in banking, particularly investment banking, lift and shift is less viable for you in terms of outage windows than if you're maybe in manufacturing, where you can shut the plant down for a week and do an entire move of production lines and IT equipment. It's a very topical point, actually, because we are seeing that there are some key technologies that assist with what I call electronic data moves, and those are things like virtualization for storage and server, and some of the migration software tools, things like Softek, where you can do some fairly sophisticated migration using the equipment. And then probably lastly, and one of the older ones, is this, you know, the use of SANs or use of storage area networks is still see that enabling some of the moves that might be seen to be more complex, and where the storage network can be used to kind of dual path the data and protect it in the sense of actually having it then copied onto two arrays at the same time and using the target array as potentially the one you're actually moving to in another data center. So depending on the kind of industry sector, depending on the budget and depending on the criticality of the information, tends to craft out the kind of program that people follow with those approaches. But there is still always an element, we find, of lift and shift, possibly more for the servers than the data itself, but a combination.
Hmm. It sounds quite risky to introduce new technology as part of a migration strategy. What are some of the pitfalls that an IT director could watch out for?
That's a very good point. A new technology of any kind obviously introduces added risk to a migration, and in most migrations there's enough risk to start with. And that can be in the form of a platform change, i.e., you know, Unix to Linux, or moving stuff from mainframe to Unix or vice versa. Or it could just be a vendor change, you know, moving from HPUX to Solaris or a type of server or type of storage array. Really the advice there would be the planning is the critical phase. You have to have a very good plan, which is robust. You have to have a very clear idea of the assets that you have and are planning to move, or the assets you're looking to introduce. And that needs to be done at the application level, but with full mapping of the physical to logical infrastructure layer. And then you obviously need to do an element of testing to make sure that your plan is robust in terms of your migration methodology, and hopefully also, this should be a given really, hopefully also that the end state operation is a series of technologies that operate properly and deliver what you need back to the business.
Hmm. And so where do people most often fall down when trying to do this?
Well, I think the planning stage is often the bit that's probably the least attractive to most people, especially technologists. They want to get on with using the technology to do the migration or the moving of things. So planning is key. Having a good CMDB or asset register is absolutely crucial. You have to have good discovery if you're going to move things, because you will find that the interdependencies that are either known or unknown in the application stack and the infrastructure stack will affect what you can and can't do if you're doing a move, let's say over weekends. You don't want to find that you're moving five applications which rely on a particular server that you didn't know they relied on, which isn't moving for another 6 months, and that's a very common problem that we come across. So the other thing, obviously, if possible, is to try and build in the ability to remove legacy equipment that's no longer required, as I previously said. And then probably lastly is estimating how long and how much it will cost to complete the project. That seems to be difficult to do when you don't always know exactly what the project looks like. but it's very important to get that as accurate and as good as you can up front. And then probably lastly, setting some realistic expectations with the business around the impact that they can and can't accept to their business applications, and obviously, you know, what that means to them in terms of moving them.
Are these kind of consolidations and migrations driving companies towards outsourcing more for maybe storage services or IT services in general? What's the market in the UK like these days for?
Well, I think the outsourcing market is growing, particularly if you look at things like data, you know, outsourced data protection. In other words, somebody else doing your backups for you, somebody else doing your email archive for you. There's definitely a growing market there, and it's maturing as companies realise that actually that's not necessarily core to their business. It's very important. It's probably even got regulatory aspects to it, governance from a governance perspective. But actually employing people yourself and the technology to fill up a data center to do your data protection, when you can buy that service potentially, you know, better, faster, cheaper on the end of a wire, people are starting to realize that actually that take the emotion out, it's a better option to buy that service, in the same way that people have done with things like hosted firewalls and hosted virus checking and other things. It's moving in a similar direction.
Interesting. Paul, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Cheers.